Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts, uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. And today we will talk about IoT platforms, especially about industrial IoT platforms. There's a lot of stuff going on with those kind of platforms, especially in the last 10 years. A lot of companies started and launched their IoT platforms, the big players, small players, startups. What's happening in this ecosystem of IoT platforms? And there's no one better than Hans-Michael Krause from Bosch Rexroth. He's the director of product management of the Control-X World IoT platform. And he is here with us today to talk about his journey, the journey of Control-X, and also to talk about the past, the present, and the future of IoT platforms. Hello, Hans-Michael.
Hi, Matthias. Hi, Natalie. Good to be here.
Hi, Michael.
Exactly. And I'm not alone here in our podcast. I have my lovely co-host here with me. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Matthias. I thought you forgot me.
Never. Guest first, our new policy.
Of course.
instead of ladies first. Yeah, I'm really, really happy to join this conversation here together with Natalie and Michael. Before we go into the topic and explore about the past, present, future of IoT platforms, let us introduce Hans-Michael. So Hans, please, can you let us more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, you can call me Michael. It's easier for the podcast. I'm working for Bosch Rexroth. We are an automation company and I work there in the product management, as you said, Control-X World. It's actually a partner network that I'm leading. Automation or industrial IoT. Matthias, you're an IT guy. I'm not sure about Natalie. So when you look from the IT perspective towards automation, you feel like going into a time machine. Yeah, it's like going 20 years back. So all the stuff that happened in IT currently happens in automation or industrial IoT. And that makes it for us very exciting and maybe for you a little bit boring as being an IT guy. So let's see in our conversation what you think about. So what is Control-X? It's basically an automation platform to make machines move, to make shop floor running, that they can produce goods. The platform has been introduced 2019, and we radically said, let's bring operational technology, automation, industrial IoT, call it how you name it, towards IoT level. So let's make the jump 20 years ahead and introduce a lot of new technologies like Linux, which was new for us or was new for the branch, like software containers, you can call it apps, like connectivity, like openness and extendability. And this became Control-X Automation as a platform. And when we launched it, we had a lot of companies approaching us, obviously wanting to buy it, but also saying, hey, this looks like a platform. Can we also offer our technology for your platform? We didn't plan that in the beginning. So we are working in a very agile way. Yeah. And then we said, okay, there are a lot of great companies that can contribute towards this platform to change automation for the good, yeah, to make the leap ahead. And we open up our partner network of a lot of companies in 2020 that contribute with software apps and with compatible devices. And this is actually what became Control-X World, which I'm currently orchestrating. So I'm an ecosystem orchestrator in the platform and ecosystem terms.
So it's a bit of a Zapier for the machine world. So you can connect different services and let them automate. Or what does automation really mean?
Yeah, automation is basically, there's this term PLC, programmable logic controller. This is like the heart of a machine which controls the movement. Let's take a chocolate bar. I'm sure you and Natalie, you eat chocolate very much. Not very much, but you like to eat chocolate, sorry. And producing a chocolate bar can be actually quite challenging when you look on an industrial scale. You need to melt the chocolate to mix it, and you need to pack it at the end of the day. And those are, for this, you need machines. And there are big companies that produce chocolate. I think some names come to your head, maybe with Lila Cows company, for example, and they have machines actually packaging the chocolate, and these machines are automated with PLCs, with electromotors, with power electronics, with machine software actually that make these machines run, that pack your bar of chocolate at the end of the day. Somebody needs to program it, somebody needs to start this up, this machine, and somebody needs to operate a machine, and this is operational technology, this is where we are at.
It's also cross-machine, so along the whole shop floor, the whole production line.
Yeah, and then comes connectivity, exactly. Typically, these machines are not separated machines, yeah, so chocolate is melted, mixed, formed, packaged, so those are like all different machines. They need to communicate between each other, they need to exchange data, for example, when there's the mixer not working, the packaging machine has to stop, obviously, and these machines need to be coordinated, so then you have one coordination level on top, and then these machines also need to get their production orders, so like Matthias supermarket would like to buy 10,000 bars of chocolate, and this is a production order that comes in via the ERP system down actually to the actual machines. And there you have a connectivity between IT and this OT world. So the order of the chocolate bars and the actually movements of the machine, they need to come together. And this is quite challenging to set this up actually because of different OT and IT worlds. And this is where actually IoT platforms started to work at, to collect data of machines, to improve them, to improve the performance. Imagine, Matthias, if you have a machine stop and you cannot produce, but you have a customer who have ordered a lot of chocolate and you need to just produce the chocolate. Every minute that the machine stops is money that you cannot produce. So people started bringing in connectivity to improve the overall performance of a chocolate line, for example, in order to produce more, to create more money at the end of the day. And this is where IoT platforms actually entered years ago with the idea to track data and to improve performance.
So just so I understand, right, yeah. I'm going to try to put it in my own words. The platform fosters data exchange and interoperability of various robotics and IoT systems. Is it a bit like Apple, where you will have both hardware and software elements that are interoperable? And do you actually have that layer of data exchange on the top of the interoperability?
Yes. When you look at general automation, highest priority is to make a machine move. There are people working at the machine, so you need to guarantee also their safety. So real-time machine movement, safety for the operator, those are the main tasks of a typical automation platform. Yeah. But due to industrial IoT and connectivity, there are more and more tasks for such a platform. Delivering also data, like you said, Natalie, in order to understand better how's my process going, how is the chocolate mixed, how is my chocolate bar packaged. So you have this typical OT operational technology task of making the machine move, but also a lot of IoT add-ons. And there's more and more demands for such an automation platform with these IoT capabilities. And this is actually which is a major challenge for automation companies like us. And this made us actually create a new platform, combining in a perfect way this OT and IT tasks together and creating a kind of convergence.
To get a feeling about the network, the partner network, so how many partners we are talking about? There's thousands, hundreds, millions?
So in this market of automation platforms, you have, as I always call them, big elephants providing their technology platform. You can, maybe you know Siemens, another German company. And we are, as Bosch Schrecksort, in this specific segment, we are a mid-sized player. Yeah, we are a big challenger of the big elephant, like a speedboat driving around the elephant. We know we cannot do everything by ourselves because we have limited resources. We are not a big elephant. So we said, okay, we have this new platform. We have companies approaching us. Why not opening it up, yeah, for them in order to let them contribute? And we started with 12 companies in 2020 with a good mixture of traditional other automation companies, but also startups. And as of today, we have 90 companies providing additional contributions value to the platform within our partner network.
This was more a question for our guests to get a feeling and a good understanding. So when you in general talk about platforms, then you talk typically about big marketplaces or whatever, and then you have millions of sellers and producers on your platform. But for IoT platforms, it's a bit different. So you have a handful, a couple of hundred or whatever players supporting and connecting and providing apps or other solutions via the platform. So it is also a challenge when you want to scale your platform. So the network effects are not that big because of the pure number of players you connect. And in our podcast today, we want to talk about the past, the present, and the future of IoT platforms or industrial IoT platforms. So of course, you are kind of starting late with Control X. So you mentioned about 3-4 years old now, but the market for industrial IoT platforms, it's, I think maybe the first ones from General Electric or whatever, they launched 10 years ago. So when you look at the past, what could you say the big learnings looking at the last 10 years of those IoT platforms?
Yeah, you were referring to GE Predix, for example. They made a very big announcement, I think it was in 2015 or 2016. And roughly at the same time, we saw also in the industrial IoT market, Siemens coming out with MindSphere. I think this is very much known also to your audience. What we see in the platform business in our B2B industrial IoT sphere is even the big names, they have trouble really establishing a successful platform. They are looking to the B2C platforms that everybody knows, that every science paper cites, right? And they want to copy the success from B2C to B2B, and they struggle. Let's take a look at MindSphere, for example. I think Siemens struggled with this to establish it. I think they several times changed their backbone layer from different technology providers. And I heard it also one of their managers saying that they concentrated too much on providing a platform and not thinking about solutions. So they thought, okay, let's put a platform out because it's in B2B, they're also successful with platforms. So let's put a platform out and then the app provider will come, the customers will come and they will create their use cases upon it. They failed with this approach, just putting out a platform, because at the end, an industrial user, he's not keen on using a platform just to use a platform. He's keen on solving his particular challenge somehow in a cool, in a nice and efficient way. And platforms help to be more efficient to find the best solution. Yeah. And I think this was one big learning, for example, for Siemens.
I think what you're saying is totally what we also see with Matthias when we work with all those companies who want to build platforms and also looking at startups who want to be platforms. If your goal is to build a platform, then probably you're going to fail. Whether you're huge or small, it doesn't matter. If your goal is to solve a customer's challenge or smoothen a path or connect things that are not connected, then you've got more chances of succeeding, even if you're very small, in fact. And we see a lot of big players who assume, like you just said, because of their brand, that people will come and use the platform. But that's not the case at all. People, companies use the platform if it solves a pain point they have. And that's true on B2B as well as B2C. That's totally true in all the markets.
Yeah, I think that the key is then also for those big companies to act like a producer. So this is how you solve this cold start problem. So you produce solutions, push them out, even when it's your own solutions. But then you need to find the right point in time to get things going, to have a critical mass. And now we are ready to open up everything. So not being open right from the beginning, but provide good solutions. But then not to pry too much. Otherwise, maybe the partners will not see enough room for their own solutions to find the right balance between your own solutions and external solutions.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like when we started in 2017 with our automation platform, we didn't want to create a platform in the marketplace sense. We wanted to create a new product line because we needed to replace our existing products. They come to the end of their lifetime. So we had a technical need also to create something new, and we incorporated platform elements like a marketplace and like being open. But we didn't want to create an app store for the industry right from the beginning. It was mainly driven by strategic choices that we did along the way. And maybe that's another learning that you see also with IoT platforms, that even the big companies do, they pivot, they change their strategy. Coming back to Siemens and the MindSphere example, Siemens has rebranded MindSphere. I think it's called now Industrial IoT Hub or something like that. And they created the accelerator ecosystem or program with a completely new approach concentrating on business. and concentrating on use cases and solving customers' challenges and problems the same way how we do it. So that's one major learning, I think, for industrial IoT platforms. Another thing that I want to mention, there's another example that as a proof point, B2B is slower than B2C in my perspective. Maybe you have a different view out of your experience, but let's say we are introducing here an automation platform. This will take us 5 to 7 years until it's fully unfolded. So you need a certain endurance in launching a platform or ecosystem business model in B2B, and you need to stick to it for a while. And obviously you need to control your KPIs. And the KPIs are maybe not the turnover KPIs in the beginning, but you need to stick for it. Yeah. There's one example in the German market platform called Adamos. It's a platform made from different machine builders that came together to provide digital services to their machines, to their machine users. And they also had a partner ecosystem. Adamos somehow also pivoted 1 or 2 or 3 times along the way. I think it was founded in 2017. And now I think they stopped their activities. At least there's no updates on the homepage. And I believe, looking at the owners, machine building groups, maybe they lost a bit their confidence. They could not wait such a long time until it fully unfolds. What do you think about that, out of your experience?
Actually, I think it's a very well-spotted learning because investors or companies who invest in creating a new platform business are expecting return on investment straight away or within a year or 2 years. And if not, within 3 years, if they don't have that return on investment, then they give up mostly. Not always, but they're very tempted to give up. Because they look at how startups go fast in the B2C market and they think or they hope that it will be the same. But I agree with you. This is also learning that we've seen not just on the automation, but in all of the ecosystems as well.
Yeah, typically. So we analyze a lot of platforms, especially in B2B. And in average, it takes them 5 years to become profitable. So not to earn money or to create revenue, but really to become profitable. So this kind of time frame, you need to talk to explain to your management to set the right expectations. And as you said, to have a long-term commitment, a long-term ambition, a long-term endurance to invest until you see how network effects kick in and how you can scale. Also, when you mentioned Adamos, when I looked at them, I found it very, very interesting in the strategy and the approach of setting up such a platform. So in your case, one big company started and launched the platform. In their case, multiple companies came together and said, okay, let's form a consortia and let's bring it together online. And they struggled a bit also with the strategy, all the alignment between the different partners. So at the end, it's not about the approach, but more about the execution and finding the right commitment between each other. But it's also a valid strategy to create it together because the market is very small. The number of companies as customers is very small in a B2B world compared to B2C. B2C, you have millions, then you can afford to lose some of them to your competitors. But in a B2B world, you only talk about thousands of potential customers and it requires different strategies to win those customers. Yeah, it's not that easy. Also, coming back to you, Michael, when you talked about the IoT and the industrial IoT platform market, can you give us a kind of a number, how big this market is? So you mentioned 600 in the IoT space, but industrial IoT is much less, right?
Yeah, I don't have concrete numbers about the platforms. The automation market is basically huge. So we are speaking here, I don't know, it depends a bit what you count to the market, 80 to 100 billion euros turnover per year. So the market is huge. There's a huge demand of automation. There's a huge demand for efficiency in production. And this can be covered with automation or industrial IoT platforms very well. So a lot of people see this market and try to approach it, but it has its own, let's say, rules or special ways how to deal with it. And one big struggle what the early IoT platforms had was the simple fact of connectivity, machine connectivity. IT platforms in the beginning could not really unfold because it was too expensive to connect all these machines, to send somebody to connect these industrial devices. That was a major pain point why the platforms didn't grow so much in the beginning. This is changing now and connectivity is getting better, but very slowly. That's again an argument why it takes time to really unfold. But I see now things moving very fast and we had this, I'm sure you know, Industry 4.0 term coined by people on Hanover Fair. This has been launched more than 10 years ago. has not changed so much, actually, due to the connectivity issues. But I see much more changes coming up on the horizon for the OT world, for the industrial automation world in this years of the 20s, with new platforms, with new approaches coming up now, like which are like Control X, like our platform. So it's really exciting to be in this industry at the moment, to be honest.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we work closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation.
Yeah, I recently heard the term Industry 5.0. Was wondering what they're referring to. Maybe AI and additional AI services could further automate and further bring in intelligence to the whole thing. Maybe as a last point, so looking back at the history of those platforms, and we already talked about the market, but what would you say are big learnings about the monetization strategies of those IoT platforms? So in marketplaces, you have transaction fees, then you have subscription models and so on. So what would you say are the big monetization strategies of IoT platforms?
I think in the B2B world, especially in the industry and in our world, it was very hard to establish subscription business models. Our customers, for example, they are used to one-time payment of software. They buy a device and the software is for free at the end. They look like this, yeah, because I pay so much money for this device. I must get the software included for free. This changes. For example, subscription-based business models are still at the beginning, I would say, in industrial IoT. I give you an example. We had a connectivity product and we wanted to charge for a driver for this PLC and a driver for that PLC and a driver for this and a package for that, splitting it up very nicely. But our customers didn't understand. They said, okay, can I pay it one time or can you make this price model simpler? Yeah, and we came back to a simple tech mechanism, or you charge per machine connected. Yeah, people were thinking about charging per data consumed, API consumption, but nobody really wanted to calculate it and say, okay, machine connectivity, or you pay per connected machine this amount of money. Yeah, this is how it started from business model perspective. And behind, there's also the trouble when you look at traditional companies and their ERP system. ERP system is not made to sell subscriptions. The maintenance software that the big players or machine operators are using is also not used to subscription-based business models. Using payment service providers is not common still in that area. So those are also challenges that we faced when we introduced our app store or our marketplace. We needed to change a lot in our internal ERP system. And this can be very cumbersome for traditional companies when they want to enter these kind of business models. And the startup, for example, using payment service providers can act in a completely different way.
Yeah, I think what you describe is the difference between launching it within a bigger company, a bigger governance environment, and you have to deal with the existing processes and governance and whatever financial processes versus launching it outside as a startup. When we also looked at those platforms, B2B platforms, we also found out that pure transaction-based platform business models are not existing. The same is also not for pure subscription-based. We always see a hybrid version of transactions and subscriptions and maybe also some other value-adding services around that. So it's more complicated compared to in a B2C world or C2C world. Looking at the IoT market of the future, so we learned a lot from the past. We also learned it's moving slowly. So what can we expect in the next 10 years?
Yeah, in our market, you know, the big elephants that I mentioned in the beginning, they were very comfortable with their business. And 1-2 years ago, we had a supply chain crisis in our industry. Customers realized the drawbacks of choosing the big ones. They choose a big one because everyone who chooses a big one cannot make a big error, you know? And now they see the problems. For example, customers couldn't get industrial controllers or electromotors and drives, and they had no alternative. They could not deliver machines because they were locked in on these proprietary systems of these major players. So they understand openness is a real value for them, because in supply chain crisis, they can move to another platform and continue to make their business. So trends that I see is that even the big elephants start to open up. We see, for example, a lot of Linux-based automation platforms coming to our market. Linux is the new standard of operating system for us. The same way like Linux nowadays dominates IT servers, we see Linux more and more going into automation. So opening up is a big trend in our industry. Also interesting is to see what the hyperscalers are doing and how they approach this market. They are lacking this domain know-how of automation, but still try to enter this market because they see it as attractive. And obviously also the AI stuff that we see now with these large language models, people start to dream how this could change, for example, programming a machine. So those are major drivers that I see coming up in our markets: openness, AI, and IT concepts taking place in the OT.
There's also this perception that the technology is developing faster than the organizations. And as you said, in the past, they are moving very slowly. Can we expect that the companies also kind of accelerate, or how do you think those companies, those organizations will adopt all of those new technologies, new changes coming up?
That's a very good point that you bring up, Matthias. Actually, I can fully agree to this, that technology is faster than, let's say, the mindset or the know-how of the people or of the users. And I made this example of chocolate bar production. Yeah, let's go back to this example. In the past, a lot of machine operators liked to program PLCs also in their spare time because they liked automation and they did some side projects. Nowadays, they are more on social media platforms than programming a PLC. And we see a lot of lack of know-how, especially in this maintenance personnel. So fewer and fewer people, lesser and lesser people programming PLC, an industrial controller, for example, with programming know-how. And this is a major hurdle that I see. And sometimes I feel like a missionary explaining them all the possibilities that they have and trying to convince them to apply it, because we are here in a very conservative industry. People are very much hesitant to see the possibilities of ChatGPT, for example. I don't know how many people have been using it or are using it actively. So that's a huge major hurdle for this industry, to be too much conservative and not to apply these technologies. And being in this podcast is another example where I try to convince people. Actually, I think daily about how I can convince a standard machine builder to have a look at technologies that are available in automation or in industrial IoT. It's a major thing.
And this is also a pattern we heard from others in our podcast. So, for example, we talked to Ditabio, and they are also kind of an IoT platform. This brings me also back to one of your early statements about you need to provide solutions. And the overarching narrative, what we learned is you need to act like a digital transformation partner for your customers. So they lack the resources, as you said. People now want to go to social media and being a creator on YouTube instead of being part of an industrial company. There's a huge gap of resources for those companies. They lack the resources, they lack the knowledge, the know-how, et cetera. So what they need is not only single solutions, but also someone who helps them to digitally transform their business. So if you can come in and say, with our platform, we not bring you only single solutions and we can maybe help you to improve uptime or decrease the costs for maintenance, but you can in total solve the problem of digital transformation for your company, then this is a bigger narrative and a bigger value proposition you bring to them. And then you can fully act as a big partner and bring in all the small partners in your network with you, something like that. So this is a topic we see also how others now approach their customers.
Yeah, we have a look especially on quality, for example, of the apps. We want to provide high quality apps. So we check the app providers. They become actually Bosch suppliers at the end. So our purchase organization checks them. They have to develop after a certain development guideline. We check the apps with a validation team. in order to guarantee high quality, in order to gain the trust of the customer that this will work on his machine. This is reflecting, Matthias, what you were saying, helping the customers on this digital transformation journey with proven solutions. That's a winning factor for us.
It's the same point as what you were saying earlier about the platforms. You don't implement technology for the sake of implementing technology. You don't create a platform for the sake of creating a platform. You do it because it will solve a problem, enable you to do something easier, faster, safer. I think it's the same story, really, the same issue for adoption.
When we look in the future, we see technology is changing. Customers are adopting slowly. And we also touched a bit about AI. What are your thoughts about AI and IoT platforms? Could this be a win-win, or how does it fit together?
When we think AI and IoT platforms, the first big use case that we see is actually in quality inspection. So image recognition of faulty pieces, something is faulty mounted. That's already widely accepted. It's not large language models, sorry to say, not the fancy stuff. This is a standard image recognition patterns. So this is a big first use case of AI in industrial IoT platforms. What will come up is also the programming support. First of all, finding the right knowledge, like a copilot when you program your software, helping to find the right answer. And maybe then also providing some sample code and maybe also making code conversion. That will change a lot. We see, and we are just at the beginning here. And we have a major fair coming up next week, major automation fair. I'm looking forward to present our AI solution on that, but also to see what generally the market is bringing out with this innovation.
So then we could kind of summarize and say maybe in the past, the breakthrough use case was all about predictive maintenance. You talk to people and they think about IoT platforms. Everybody talked about predictive maintenance.
I don't talk about this anymore.
Yes.
I'm a bit fed of it. That's why I did not mention it. But yes, you are right, Matthias.
80% of those use cases are related to predictive maintenance and 20% something else. But in the future, it could be, or the next future, the next step with AI, it could be more about quality. So as a second kind of big breakthrough use case for IoT platforms.
Quality and trust, Matthias. Remember my favorite word, trust, confidence, safety, you know, all this topic.
Yes, yes. But most of the people, their trust is right. Also, Michael talked about it, so that you as a company, you need to act as a trustful partner. And therefore, they expect from you that you control your network. You also mentioned, Michael, that they are becoming official Bosch partners and getting a stamp. So they are kind of approved and validated and whatever, and you guarantee some things for your customers. So the trust is based on this kind of control mechanism, but the use cases are mainly driven because of cost reduction. So predictive maintenance reduces the cost, quality inspections reduces the cost. So the main things is always about, can I make everything more efficient and save some costs and money?
There are some ongoing discussions about trustworthy AI. Natalie, I fully agree to that. But I see this in our industry, at least very far ahead. But we have a partner active in trustworthy AI activities. And another thing that it might change or come up in industrial IoT platforms is also the term of data spaces. Create common data spaces where you store, provide data to all the others, and everybody has some benefits of it. There's Manufacturing X as a new initiative here in this area. What also changed our industry is the Cybersecurity Cyber Resilience Act coming from the EU, where when you have connected industrial devices, you need to provide security updates. That will also change a lot the landscape. It's not yet fully defined. It's in definition at the moment, but I believe I hear some major changes afterwards. So also European Union regulation might change this landscape over the course of the next years.
Yeah, trust is to be thought through at all those different levels, whether it's the brand, the mechanisms of validation and responsibility and liabilities within the platform, but also the technological safety and reliability. We're convinced that trust is a big topic, is going to be very important moving forward. Especially for platforms where with platforms, you don't control your value chain, right? So it's even more of an issue that you need to work specifically.
Yeah, I think very good points we discussed, but we're also approaching the end of our podcast. As a last question to you, we always love to invite other experts to our podcast. So which one would you recommend? Who could talk about their story, about their platform, about what they learned, etc.?
If you invite somebody from Siemens to explain one-to-one their history of MindSphere and our accelerator and what they are doing, I tried to understand it on last Hanover Fair. I was on their booth. I asked some people and they could not fully answer it to me. So I would love to hear it in your podcast.
We take it as a challenge. So we will invite them and maybe we can better understand and they can better explain what they are doing and what they are. So we take it as a challenge. Thank you very much for joining and talking about Control X and your journey, but also talking about the IoT market, the past and the future. Yeah, not as fast as everybody expected developing compared to all of those predictions from consultants, but a very interesting field and everybody should have a look at, because you can learn a lot of stuff, what's working, what's not working, how to build up a trustful platform in this ecosystem. Thank you very much for joining. And maybe in 1-2 years or whatever, we can have another conversation. And then let's see how Control X further developed, especially with AI and quality, etc.
Merci, Nathalie. And thanks, Matthias. Dankeschön. And was a pleasure being here and discussing with such good platform experts about platforms and ecosystems.
So, danke schön, Matthias and Mike, Michael, my German accent.